Forever Dog.
Manila.
The Trees Royale.
I'm feeling extra glamorous tonight.
Giving everything you got, trying to make it to the top. Never ever gonna stop, even if you get the chop, chop, chop. Girl, you got the chop.
Don't be a bitter bitch. Just make them eat it, honey.
Welcome to The Chop with Latrice and Manila,
where we give you the weekly recap and rundown of Canada's Drag Race, who's on top,
and who gets the chop.
Yeah.
Let's chop it up, Latrice.
Let's chop it up. Okay, so last week we saw our top three perform their own verse in the You Wear It Well remix, and all the queens from season one returned, and they all came in looking lovely to strut their coordination looks on the runway. At the end of the competition, we have a new winner, who is our lovely Priyanka. It's Woo-hoo! Crowned. And Canada's Drag Race Season 1 has come to an end, and my life is now over.
For this week, at
For
least.
For this week, yeah.
Yeah, I literally was like, wait, what day is it? Oh, I didn't watch Canada's Drag Race, and there was like an empty hole in my
Just
soul.
A pit.
You know what?
Oh my God, Manila, maybe that was what's wrong with me. I completely had a bad day yesterday.
Right? I saw that you were writing on Facebook that you
see,
were...
Yeah. I didn't have anything to distract me. I had no distractions. There you have it.
But today is like, we're actually super lucky because we don't have Canada's Drag Race anymore. But we are very, very lucky today on the Chop Podcast because we have a super special guest with us from season one of Canada's Drag Race. She's got big boobs, big looks, and a whole lot of personalities. Make some noise for Jimbo!
Yeah! Oh, hey! Oh, let me get the girls
there.
Shake my titties. Shake my
titties. Okay, Jimbo, you have to know, I don't want to overspeak for Manila, but you know that we are complete Jimbo stans here. Like, from day one, we wanted to lick your tits. So
get them. I had them tested. They're COVID-free, so lick them.
Yes! So just thank you for giving us what we needed out of this this competition. You were absolutely stunning, amazing, kept us on our toes, you know, a complete sweetheart, sassy, brassy, and full of shade, and I lived for every moment.
What,
Jimbo, you were like you were a highlight of Canada's Drag Race. Honestly, you were like everything we want from a drag performer on Drag Race, and it was all like in you. You had amazing confessionals, you had sickening looks. You were throwing shade, you were humble and kind, you were creative. Everything about you was just, mwah, girl, fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where in the world are you right now? Where are you?
I am in Manchester quarantine. I'm self-isolating in a little part of, Manchester called Piccadilly. In a tiny little
place.
Room.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. I know Piccadilly, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm tucked away.
It's nice to know that other countries are allowing Canadians into their country because they won't allow us Americans anywhere. We're like diseased COVID, like, you know, we got our own issues. We are not allowed to go anywhere.
I just shit myself here. I actually, I wasn't supposed to come, but I just packed myself up and, you know, purulated myself here. So here I am.
Oh, fierce.
Well, here you are. Looking stunning.
How has this Drag Race experience been for you, Jimbo?
It's been a wild dream come true. You know, I've always dreamed to be on Drag Race. You know, I'm a huge fan of both of yours. And, you know, being a part of the Drag Race family and really being able to showcase what we do up here in Canada was you know, a long time dream. And so having a Canada's Drag Race is, you know, obviously the perfect way to do that. And it was an absolute dream. And then, you know, tuning into shows like yours, watching The Chop was also another dream come true, to see icons and legends that I've looked up to for so long, talking about our drag, talking about Canada. And it was really just all such a dream come true, and continues to be absolutely amazing.
Oh my God. We just enjoyed every minute of it. Every minute. So like, it seems like you guys were friendly enough. Do you have a strong sisterhood with the girls from your season?
Yeah, we have like a, you know, an Instagram chat where we all, you know, kiki together and talk about what's up. And we all talk in there, and yeah, we're all really close. You know, I think it was like a little bit, you know, around those episodes where I was maybe being a bit spicy, I did have to send a few little apologies.
We all do sometimes, but you said what you said.
You know, I said what I said, and I would say it again. Sorry. I will say it again as soon as I see that bitch. No, as soon as I see Rita, I'm coming for her. Just kidding. I'm going to come with Bianca.
Right.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I loved it.
It was, it's really cool because this is the first season of Canada's Drag Race. And, you know, like we didn't get RuPaul as the host, but we did get RuPaul to like show up on the screen and to kind of host and kind of take care of this franchise. Did you think that Ru would be there? When you like auditioned, do you have an idea, like, would Ru even be a part of this? Like,
yeah, I kind of just imagined that Ru was always there. I imagined she was watching my tape personally. Then I imagined that she was there, you know, helping prep the workroom, being like, you know, where does Jimbo want his cart today? You know, does he think, I think it'd work better for him if it was over here. And, you know, she was there in spirit, and she was, you know, doing all kinds of things. She was making a snack. She made me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Cuss crud off, and, right?
Yeah, cuss crud off. Mommy, you know I don't like it with the crust. No, I wanted her to be there. I looked for her everywhere. I looked for her in the bathroom. I ran, you know, around behind the curtains. I'm like, where is this bitch? But I hope I do get to meet her one day. I've sent her an email to a whole bunch of email addresses I think might be hers, and they all bounce back, but I'm still trying.
She's like, RuPaul@gmail.com, RuPaul@Hotmail, RuPaul@AOL. Exactly. One of them's got to be right?
Exactly. I figured she's hiding in plain sight.
Oh, my
goodness. It goes straight to her junk mail.
What I want
to
know.
Oh, yeah.
What I like to know is, like, how did you feel about the judging? Like, the fans, the internet had quite a lot to say. Even we had a lot to say about the judges, the judging, and even the structure of the guest host, you know, when they came on. What do you think of all that while you were filming? And even now, how do you feel about it?
Well, I've got, you know, I have like mixed feelings about the whole thing, because you know, on the one hand, I want to be like, I love everyone and nothing matters. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, your words don't hurt me. I don't care what you say about my drag on national television and all over the world. Right. Part of me wants to, like, you know, of course, be crazy. And to, you know, to go off and to be like, no, 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 no. But, you know, I have to at the same time realize that was their job. And, you know, everyone has a job. You know, there's the people at the fair telling you can't go on the rides if you're too short. There's, you know, the freaking government telling you can't go here, you can't do this. So there's all kinds of rules everywhere, and you don't have to always agree with them. But, you know, sometimes you have to listen to them. And so I was like, okay. You're up there in your judgy judge spot, and I'm over here just quaking in my boots. So I guess I'll just accept it. But I wish that they just, you know, you can disagree with someone or have a different opinion without necessarily not seeing them. So, you know, I feel like you can still see someone. You can still recognize what someone brought to the competition. You can recognize people's intentions and still not agree with them. And I think that a lot of the time it was It was very like yes or no, we love it or we don't. And if we don't, we really don't. And we're going to make 10,000 jokes about it. And, you know, I thought it just didn't leave a lot of place in the middle. And I guess, you know, that's what makes good TV is these polarized discussions. And that's what art is about. It's not about being safe or comfortable. It's about pushing boundaries. It's about starting conversations. And so I think we were successful in that, you know, it caused a really big conversation about judgment, about drag, about, you know, how to critique people. And so I think we were really successful in having a big conversation. What was said in the conversation, I wish was, you know, a little bit different. But, you know, I'm going to see Jeffrey at a party one time. And I'm going to make him.
Then what? Tell us more, girl.
I mean, you know, you have to know that you've tuned in, and so you've heard our opinions on the situation. But, you know, I agree completely. You know, there are rules, and they're doing their job. At the same time, there is a way that you can constructively give people critique without being nasty and hurtful. These are human beings behind this makeup and padding, you know?
Because I want to know, like, from episode one, like, I was, like, a little bit like, woo, like, these judges are, like, they're like, the tough Russian judges. Like, we had, like, three judges that were, like, very, very strict in the very beginning, right off the top of it. And I want to know, like, is that, like, mostly editing? Because I know, like, sometimes when the judges, they'll say, like, one thing that's nice and then one thing that's kind of bad that you can improve on. But, like, that not everything makes it into, like, you know, in the editing. Like, in person, like, was it as bad as we saw? Were they as strict as we saw on TV?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, I thought, like, right episode one, I was like, oh, you know, it's going to be cute to start. They're going to see us all. They're going to be like, oh, you tried so hard and you did this, da, 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 da. And we got out on that runway and they just started tearing us apart. And I was like, ah! I was so afraid. I was like, oh my God, these people are not playing and they are here to kill us. And I was afraid for my life. And so, you know, I was so fortunate that everything I brought, I was confident in my vision, my execution, my lace lines, my shoes were right, my tights were right, my pads were right, my nails were different, new and on every time. You know, I made sure that there was certain, you know, parts of my presentation that would make it so I had a good journey through the show. But, you know, for the other girls where, you know, there was a few holes here and there in their looks or in their presentation, it was really scary because you knew that there was very little you could do to change what you're presenting. And, you know, you can adapt it slightly, but if they're not digging what you've brought, then you're kind of hooped. And so it's really hard to work around that.
Yeah.
True that. Well, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back with more of Jimbo.
Woo woo!
Thanks.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite.
and you should like try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
We're back with our special guest, Jimbo, from season one of Canada's Drag Race.
Yes!
Hey, all yeah, of her yeah, glorious yeah. titties here on the Chop Podcast.
Don't forget about this booty.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Those of you watching on our YouTube can see all of this gorgeousness. Work. Wow.
Thanks. I've been working on my webcamming here in quarantine, so I'm like really good at showing my assets.
For our podcast listeners, Jimbo is wearing a fire engine red wig, a red leopard body tight, sexy dress with matching gloves with claws on them, and her waist is snatched. Her boobs are a triple G.
Bitch.
Her ass makes the Kardashians cry. Like, damn. Just absolutely gorgeous. Jimbo, thanks. You were like kind of like an outsider in this competition.
So did you
know any of the queens when you got there? Like, have you like performed with these queens outside of out of Drag Race or?
No, I didn't know any of the drag queens when I walked into that room. I didn't have any clue about any of them or any of the judges either. I knew Brooklyn Heights, obviously, and I had heard of Jeffrey and Stacey from The Fifth Element from when she was in that movie.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's really the only things that I knew. And so it was really fun and exciting to walk into the workroom and freak them all out and gag them. And I knew that they wouldn't know who I was, but I knew they would knew the designer of my outfit because I wore my Abraham Levy look that we designed together. And they were like, who the fuck is this? But one of, you know, Starzy was like, damn, is that Abraham Levy? I was like, yeah, that's right, bitch. No, I don't play.
Better recognize.
Yes,
you better recognize, bitch.
Do you think that was like an advantage for you? Because like, you know, a lot of the queens came in and there was already some hype build up about them, like Tainomi,
yeah.
And Kine, like she, with all of her followers. Do you think that, you know, kind of like being like an outsider and kind of just like jumping in there like cold, like without anyone really knowing anything, was that like a good thing for you?
Yeah, you know, I think it made me really be a fighter. I fought. I like my confessionals, you can see I'm very like fighting for my life. I'm not like necessarily all the times like laughing and joking. I'm like trying to explain to everybody my point of view and my value and my take on drag. And so, you know, a lot of the other girls, they didn't really think I was that much of a threat. You know, sometimes they would say things like, oh, you know, your makeup is so bad, or you're not that pretty, or you know, like they're going to crown a pretty queen like me. We're not going to crown a weirdo like you. Like stuff like that, that really got into my head.
They did not say that
yes,
to you.
Yes, bitch. They was whispering in my ears all the time, this and that. And so I was like, you know, trying my hardest to be seen. And it was a bit hard, but that is how it's always been for me. You know, I've always had to really just like work to show myself and to prove myself and to be seen and to fit in and to have friends and to do all those things. You know, it's not always been so easy for me. So I was used to it, and I'm a hard worker. I'm a workhorse. I love to work. And you can see like in my execution of my design looks, I was like, I want to be here so bad. I need to be here so bad. I will fight so hard and I will put so much time into my looks and so much energy. So my looks were so, you know, there was a lot on them. And that was just because I was going, oh my God, I want to be here so bad. And no one freaking knows me. And no one's saying, you know, I know what you can do. And, you know, this isn't your best week. And I know you've got it in you and da, 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 da. I was having to basically show everyone who I was every time and to really prove myself. Whereas some of the other queens had relationships with some of the judges and they sort of had this reputation that helped really give a sense of their bigger story for their journey. Whereas I was really having to give whatever I could at face value in that moment and really judge entirely in that moment. And so it was, you know, Jeffrey said, welcome to the competition at episode six, girl, after I won the snatch game. Girl. And so that told me like, oh, you didn't see me that whole time, six episodes in, you finally just say, welcome to the competition. I'm like, did you not see my hair look? Did you not see my denim look? Did you not see when I won the goddamn snatch game? Did you not see when I entered in the workroom, climbed that freaking mountain and screamed my fucking head?
Oh my God.
Did you not? Like, I was like, didn't you see the paper look I made? Didn't you see the zipper look I made with 600 zippers all over it? Like that, I was just in shock. Like, I was like, welcome to the competition. Like, what have I been doing but trying my fucking hardest? But that just told me that it was like, oh, you still with all of that was took a long time to catch up and to go, oh, who is this person? And what is this person bringing? And how do I fit that into my brain and my conception of drag? And so, yeah, it takes a while when things are new.
Well, I think that maybe the judges, the judges actually have a limited scope and what they see of the competition. But as viewers, Jimbo, let me just tell you that all of us viewers, right away, we got there with you. We were loving every moment and we were loving all of the looks, girl.
Thank you. 100.
I completely was with you. And I know the struggle of having to work extra hard to prove yourself and establish yourself as a queen, and others had support system and their experience to help them along, whereas you had to be your own cheerleader. So I commend you on your bravery and how strong you are, and you persevere through the bullshit and you don't let those little head, those voices get into your head because you have too many other voices in your head already. So drown that shit out. What I like to know is, what looks do you absolutely love that you got a chance to wear on TV, and what looks did you not so better good looking?
Well, like the looks that I felt like amazing. I love the hair look. I loved having all like, you know, showing my body, having my nipples X'd out, you know. You know, I felt, I don't know if you saw the follow-up photo shoot of me on the horse.
Yes.
Where it's like, and so that whole vibe of that, like, sort of dominatrix sex pot that also has this, like, crazy overgrown hair issue all over her back and body. I just love that fantasy. I love twirling around and I love, just feeling like some sort of sexy, hairy dominatrix. I love that look.
Love it.
Yeah, that look like gagged both me and Latrice when you turned around that corner. I was like, how can I steal this look? Like, how can I make this look? Like, I want one in every color wig.
Me too. I also loved my finale look. I love when I came out in that big tutu thing where I was in my whole savings of tutus. And then I had saved tutus for so long with the dream to one day make this huge coat. And so leading up to this, I called my friend Sarah. I was like, it's time for the tutu coat. And so she like sewed and sewed and sewed and cut and sewed. And then I got to make, wear that beautiful outfit and pop out. And I like the soundtrack as it's happening. All the judges are making the sound of like me being birthed. They're like, and then I pop out and I just love it. I've watched it 100 times.
Oh my God. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you are like a sex kitten the entire time. Unapologetically, like, you're just giving us sex all the time. But let's talk about your titties, girl. Like, how many of these titty bibs do you have?
I have these ones that I'm wearing. These are my were my biggest set, but now they're smaller compared to my other really big ones.
Oh, what? She's got them. Oh, she's upgraded.
Ooh, she's got them bigger tits, girl. Yes, I do.
Them all-stars, them all-stars filler tits, right?
Yes! I left them at home, though, because they wouldn't fit in my suitcase.
Oh, but how much do they weigh? How much do they weigh?
I would say they feel like 6 bricks of butter. Like if I were to hold 3 big bricks in each hand. But you
That's
know, I'm
heavy.
Oh, she's heavy. I wore them for my interview, my first interview that I got. And I thought I looked so professional. I was like, they were like, please don't be too slutty on TV. I was like, I promise I won't. I'll be respectable. I had this little jacket that covered my shoulders right here. And I had this corset that covered my nipples. And then I had the hugest tits of all time. They turned on the camera and canceled the interview.
Lies.
They did. They were like, she is too slutty for TV and canceled it.
Bitch. Oh my gosh. Well, actually, we're going to have to blur out most of Jimbo's tits on this podcast because they're even too vulgar for us.
Oh my gosh. I have some back here.
Okay, she's
These
grabbing
are my smaller ones.
Okay, so.
Oh my.
We'll X them out.
That's fierce. That's fine. Look at that.
Wait, is that like a halter? Like,
yeah, it's oh, like yeah. A, it's like a, no, it's like a, it's like a.
Oh, it goes all the way to your neck. Top. No, bitch, it goes all the way to your neck.
Yeah, it's like a swimming costume.
How does that go over your head with your makeup, though?
Do
that's
you
like,
step into
do you
that?
Fuck up,
how do you?
Does it fuck up your makeup when you try to put it on, or is there a zipper in the back?
Yeah, basically, you have to hook the back of the neck on the back of your head, and then stretch the neck down like this, and you
oh
pop out.
Oh my god!
So okay,
like and also being... my partner helps me.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
That is commitment, bitch. Because not me, bitch. I sweat too much as it is, and I cannot be bound up in all that rubber.
In a rubber tank top. No,
with your neck
turtle,
and your whole
neck.
Girl, forget about it.
And you wore that like every single episode.
Yeah, sometimes I just feel like two eyes peeking out of a garage sale.
So, Jimbo, what are you planning to do now that more people know about you? Like, what are your drag goals? What's your aspirations?
Well, I'm currently in Manchester, and I'm going to be on a UK tour, so that's super exciting. I'll be touring with Rockham Sakura.
Awesome!
And Erica Clash, and so that's super exciting. And then I am going to be doing my own show called The House of Jimbo, which you've got the t-shirt for in the back.
You see it? I stole the shit out of it.
When oh I saw God. People were texting me, they were like, Latrice motherfucking Royale, stole your motherfucking shirt. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. Everyone died. I died.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah,
gosh.
The House of Jimbo. So I have a beautiful studio in Chinatown in Victoria, and it's filled with all kinds of crazy stuff. And I have just, with my partner, taken over the studio beside ours. And so we'll be renovating into there and creating a little film studio and working with some people on the top floor, my friends, Studio 549, who've done all my content, video content I put out. They'll be coming on as well and helping, and we're going to make a show. And hopefully you guys will be on it too.
We would love to.
God.
Yeah. And Jimbo, you have a Kickstarter now for a campaign for House of Jimbo. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so basically I have a Kickstarter campaign where we are taking donations and the support goes to filming the first season of the show, and 10% of those proceeds also go to the Rainbow Railroad. And so we want to use, you know, every time I do something, I try to incorporate an aspect for the community or some aspect of giving back. So that's this aspect of this project will be to support the Rainbow Railroad and to try and save an LGBTQ2I+ life with our gay art. And so that's the vision, and to do something like Pee-wee's Playhouse and something kind of surreal and bizarre and, yeah, really funny that helps people and saves lives.
That's awesome. I mean, honestly, like, I cannot imagine, like, Jimbo's version of, like, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Could you imagine?
We're going to put your Kickstarter information in our info and description in our YouTube here so that people can go support you and the House of Jimbo.
Thank you.
We encourage our listeners to support this
fabulous queen and her new adventures with her newfound fame from Canada's Drag Race. So thank you, Jimbo. I'm really excited. That sounds fucking fantastic.
Oh, I'm so excited too. You know, it's my dream come true to do this and to share this and to collaborate with my new friends and queens from around the world. So it's the opportunities are really endless and very exciting.
Yes, yeah. You have magical powers now that are beyond. So keep that imagination going and keep on slaying us. I'm so beyond proud and grateful for your art, and thank you for being so awesome and a pleasure and thrill to watch. Oh, so I just want to, you know, yeah, I wish I could.
Well, you too. I wish I could help you too. You guys are the original trailblazers. You two are the OG amazing, beautiful heart and talent that has inspired me and so many drag queens around the world. And, you know, all of the work that you guys have done and the work you continue to do with your podcast and your beauty and sharing in this world, it makes all of this better for all of us. So I really, truly send so much love to you both, and I respect and admire you so much.
Oh, thank you, Jimbo. Thank you. And the feeling is mutual, because Latrice and I watching you and your sisters compete on Canada's Drag Race is inspiring for us as well, especially because, you know, things are like crazy. Like we love our Canada's Drag Race and we love our Jimbo. So thank you so much for also inspiring us. Now, Jimbo,
thank you.
Every week we do this on the Chop Podcast. We choose our tops and our chops of the week, our favorite and our least favorite moments of the episodes. But this week, since, you know, we don't have an episode, we're going to do our tops and our chops of the whole season. Will you join us, Jimbo?
Yes, I would love to.
All right. How about Latrice? Why don't you go first? What is one of your top moments of the first season of Canada's Drag Race?
Okay, because they all, and I'm not just saying that because you're here, but like a lot of my top moments, Jimbo, I don't know if you remember, but they have been you. They have been revolved around you. So I think I'm going to go episode one, when you're on top of that mountain, and that's just when you just set the bar right there. Like, I was like, this bitch is crazy! She's crazy! I love that. My favorite.
I love that too. Oh my God.
My top moment of the entire season was just the fact that we got to learn so much about Canadian culture, Canadian drag, the Canadian LGBTQI+ community through what you guys did through your art of drag. I really appreciate all of the hard work that you guys put in, your patriotism, your history, and sharing that with the whole world. It was an honor to watch it and to learn from it. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh my God. Yeah. I would say my top for the show. Or do you want to
yes.
ask me what
yeah,
my top
is? Yeah, that's what I'm asking you, girl.
Yeah.
I got ahead of it. My top for it is basically as the clown, you know, it's all about my audience and going through that process and doing that performance and then going into the secrecy of not being on the show and not sharing what happened. It was like the longest clown turn ever, waiting for people to respond and to laugh. And so I think that is my top of the whole thing, is the ability I've had to connect with you guys and with other people around the world to share my art and to receive such love from people is my top part.
Yay.
It's that is like the craziest best part.
Yeah, the craziest best part. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about our chops? Like, now I know like there's so many good things about the season, but there are some things that like we just like we're like every single time. What is your chop like of the whole season, Latrice?
Come on. By default, girl. By default.
Girl.
Welcome to the competition, girl. Girl, Miss Honey, she gets the chop for me. Like, that was... I was more frustrated listening to her be completely clueless about how disrespectful she was And, you know, and it could have been the people in her ear, you know, in her earpiece telling her to
now,
say
we, are talking
time.
About Jeffrey Boyer Chapman right now.
Just in case y'all don't
just
know.
In case you know.
I had Voldemorted him, honey. The name that should not be mentioned. So, yeah, that's my job. Manila? She's still dying.
I have actually, I really, like, honestly, like, yeah, the hard part, the hardest part was watching this new set of judges and trying to kind of, you know, because we've been watching like dozens of seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, and to come into this new Canada's Drag Race where it was done differently, it was very hard as a person who's been conditioned to watch this show in a certain way, who's competed in it, to like watch some of these judges. I really wish that the judges would have been shown to give a little bit more uplifting critiques. In addition to some of their harsher critiques. Because I do think that like a lot of the harsh critiques did make sense, but I feel like yes, there was a tonal way that they were delivering their things, but also there wasn't enough like uplifting. Because I know like whenever Michelle Visage like goes in on you, she says something really nice, like, oh, okay, I like your shoe, or I like your nail color polish, your nail polish color, that's cute, but your challenge, you know what I mean?
Love the nails, but that's not your challenge, okay?
What about you, Jimbo? Like, what if it's like, your like the worst thing about this season for you?
Oh my God. Well, this reminds me of the RuPaul's question of who should go home tonight. It reminds me of that. And so I'm going to pile on because it's safe and say the motherfucking judges. I'm going to say the judges. J-U-D-G-E-S, fuck yes. I'm saying motherfucking judges, bitch. Chop to the chop to the chop, chop, chop. Chop to chop to chop, chop, chop.
Well, you know what? Okay,
did I say the judges?
Yes, you can say the judges. I think that it's. I think it's like, and exactly like, oh, if all the other girls want Miss Thing to leave, then I'm just gonna agree with them because, like, based on the judges' critiques, Jimbo.
Based on the judges' critiques.
Now I know that, like, you know, like this was obviously shot and like they recorded it and like, you know, whatever. But moving forward, what would you like to see from the judges so that we don't have to chop the judges every single week on the chop next season? Like what can they do to like improve our view of the judges? Because ultimately I do love Brooklyn Heights. I love Stacey. And I love Jeffrey Boyer Chapman.
Me too. Yeah.
Sometimes. What can they do in the future to like, so we're not like so hateful towards these judges?
Yeah, like I sort of said the same thing to him. I said, I just wish that you kissed me once before you slapped me. And I loved Michelle Visage for her critique where she would say that she sees you and, you know, whatever it was, she would pick however she saw you. It was, you know, whether it's your hair, it's da 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 da, so that you go, okay, we are connected through, you know, you seeing me and I'm open. And then when you're open, that's when you say, okay, so now that I see you and now that I know what you've brought here and I've showed you, I understand what you've brought here. I'm going to give you some feedback so that you can incorporate that into your drag and move forward successfully. And so when you don't have that little tickle before the slap, it's, you know, you feel you're on guard. And so you know, it gets a really good response out of someone to just go, you're ugly, bitch. But it's better. But it's nicer if you, you know, tickle them first and go, hey, yes. Hey, girlfriend.
Like Chanel on season one of RuPaul's Drag Race. None of you said that was beautiful. I would have just loved to hear you say that I'm beautiful just once.
Yes, say what you need, Chanel.
Well, thank you so much, Jimbo, for being a guest on our podcast. You have been a fantastic joy to like interview here, and we just loved watching you every single episode. And you were on every single episode.
Yes,
on every episode.
So you know, yes. Honey, thank every you. Episode.
Everyone that's listening, make sure you go and follow Jimbo at Jimbo the Drag Clown on Instagram.
and on Twitter and Facebook, and follow her YouTube, and go join her fan club, and send her nudes.
Please send her nudes.
Send her nudes.
Yeah, please. I'm in quarantine here.
Hello. She needs something from that spank bank, honey.
Yeah. I need something. My spank bank is empty.
Hit her up, honey. Slide into the DMs.
I'm in my overdraft in my spank bank.
We love you so much, Jimbo. Thank you so much again. And much continued success and wealth throughout your future.
Huge, which is, prosperous is, career that you have ahead of you.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you guys so much. I love you both so much. This is an honor and a pleasure and a treat beyond my wildest dreams. So thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Take care. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to the chop.
Bye. You got the chop.
We're back to the chop with Latrice in Manila.
Oh my God. I love Miss Jimbo.
That was everything for me.
Well, I've been sad all week that there was no Canada's Drag Race, but I am happy to have something to look forward to because we have just got the new promo looks for the upcoming season of Drag Race Holland.
And I cannot even handle it.
Now, I heard that they had just finished shooting the season just like in August. So, like, this is like fresh off the press.
This is like a quick turnaround, bitch.
They ain't playing. They were like, okay, we put these girls in quarantine. Let's get our money's worth.
Oh, my God. Well...
Well, what did you... Okay, so we see the new promo looks, and the girls are in the red, white, and blue colors of the flag of the Netherlands.
Just from this group composite shot, baby, I am sitting here. I'm like, gagginga.
It's rich, stunning. Honey. Rich. It's rich.
It's luxe.
Old world money, honey. Like,
what?
Girl, honey. I saw this and I like literally gagged. I was like, every single queen looks expensive.
Expensive.
Styled beautifully. Now I noticed that like they all got the memo with the styling. Now like rewinding to the promos of Canada's Drag Race, it seemed like they were like, okay, you're gonna be ice queens. And some girls like, well, I'm gonna wear a hockey uniform.
Right.
I'm gonna be wearing bright purple. I'm gonna be wearing, you know. But every one of these queens.
Oh baby, they got the memo.
They got the memo. And the stylist put them together.
We're coming to the ball. We're coming to the function, honey.
Okay, so do you have any of these standouts, girl? Like, what are your first impressions? Like, what? There's just
Miss Thing. I'm just my brain. Oh my God. Okay, do we have to go in order? Because
just pick a girl, and we'll talk about her because they're all sickening. And I honestly feel like we could literally just talk about these queens for like 4 hours.
Chelsea Boy.
Okay. I'm still getting to know all the queens.
Chelsea Boy.
Oh, the one she's painted blue. She's got this headpiece collar
that goes around her head. Like her head is the like planet or whatever, and the collar is like the rings around the planet. Like she's Saturn or I don't know.
She's got an arrow through her head. I don't know what's going on. I would love to know if there's some kind of like significance to this idea. What's her inspiration?
Yes, but it caught my attention immediately. I was like, this bitch right here means business. She means business.
Yeah, it's sick. She painted her whole body blue. She even got the part on her back that kind missed. Okay, so the one that stood out for me was Madame Madness because it looks like we get our first bearded queen on a season of Drag Race.
I know her! I worked with her in Berlin, I believe, or maybe when I came to Amsterdam. But either which way, I know who she is. I've worked with her before. I'm excited. Yes, bearded queen!
I look at her makeup,
stunning,
bitch.
Stunning.
And like, it's not just a beard. It looks like she went and bleached her beard. Like, completely. Her beard.
It's white. It's platinum. It's platinum, and it looks stunning. And you know what? Like, even as a bearded queen, she is so fashionable. That cut on that jacket is so sickening, cinched to the waist with the little peplum and the pencil skirt. Like, she is giving me fashion with that blue peekaboo gloves, honey. I'm just like,
The ostrich feather ascot. Yes. Ugh. Yeah, amen. I love it because it's like playing with the whole androgyny vibe, you know, yes. Like, she's bearded, but she looks like a fabulous, rich woman in charge of a big company. You know what I mean?
Like, for your nerves.
I really liked Envy Peru. Now, I've worked with her, yes. And she's stunning. And I love this, like, Lady Gaga, like, you know, orbital crown.
Around her
interpretation
head, yeah.
Of a crown. I love that. And the rhinestone bodice. Gorgeous.
They did these queens right, honey. Oh, my right? God. They right? are so right. Miss Mama, was it Mama Queen?
Mama Queen.
Mama
just
Queen, honey.
Skinny. Like her waist.
Just like...
I could wrap my hand around her waist.
She said, like, Violet who?
Violet who?
Bitch, I'll sew you cinch.
Violet Tchotchke has a 19-inch waist? Well, we measure in centimeters here.
Oh, my word. I'm just gagging. And Miss, is it Roam? A Roam? Or just Roam? If it's hot.
Miss Roam. Oh, yes. Roam. With the Freddy Krueger gloves.
Oh, my God. That hair, that face. That she looks...
She's got this really beautiful belt with an eyeball in the middle of it. It's just, like, really ornate, like, belt. She's got these gold Freddy Krueger claws. And then she's got this really cool, like, 18th century inspired pompadour in a baby blue. Sickening, Roam. Oh, my God. And she's got a little tiny body, and she's padded, and she's snatched, and she's gorgeous, and, ugh, lovely.
I'm here for it.
I want to give a shout-out to Patty Pam Pam, because
yes.
She looks like she is, like, the gift shop in the Netherlands at the airport. She's giving you full on, like, Amsterdam. Like, you need a quick gift for your boss when you're coming back from Amsterdam. Like, you are smoking weed and tripping on shrooms the whole time, but you need to bring back grandma, like, a little piece of blue and white
the Netherlands.
Porcelain. Yeah. She got the little packet of seeds of tulip bulbs so she can plant in the fall and they'll sprout in the spring. She is representing Holland, it. Netherlands realness. Amsterdam is underwater. The whole shabam.
The whole shabam. Yeah.
I'm really excited for this season because I feel like I learned so much about watching Canada's Drag Race. I learned so much about the country of Canada, the LGBT community and their culture. And I feel like we got some, like, deep cuts. And I'm really excited to watch a brand new season of Drag Race from a different country's point of view, seeing an entire new community of drag queens getting to show off what they do, and to actually get the chance to probably read the whole thing, because I'm assuming they're going to be speaking Dutch, and we're going to have to be reading it in Dutch.
You think?
Get your glasses out, girl. We're going to have to read these. We're going to have to
think?
Read these. Yeah. Well, the promo. Well, the promo with the appointed judge was in Dutch.
Oh. Maybe I thought he was speaking in tongues. I was like, oh, I understood what he said. But
you
really
understood
didn't.
What he said because there were subtitles, girl.
Oh, I was stoned while reading. And still, yeah, that's what I'm going to have to
she
do.
She was like, do what they do in Amsterdam, hon. Just, like, smoke some weed and we're going to get through this this language barrier. A-okay.
Well, we're going to be reading then, I guess. But I'm excited about it because I'm ready to I want to learn more. I can't believe, it's hard to believe. If you would have told me 5, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whenever, that we would be having Drag Race and all these other countries, I would have told you you're crazy. Yeah, I didn't think we were going to last that long, but here we are.
Exactly, like, exactly. Because we have a Drag Race Thailand, it's been playing for 2 seasons now.
Yeah.
Then we have the RuPaul's Drag Race UK edition.
Yeah.
Now we have Canada's Drag Race. Now we have Holland. And then there was like a South American version called The Switch.
But are you forgetting about Australia?
Wait, did I miss an entire season of Drag Race? Or has that not come out yet?
No, it's not come out yet, but I know it is happening.
And I can't wait to review it here on the chop, whenever that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, like, we've been in quarantine, but luckily, the entire time we've been in quarantine, all these months, there has been an episode of Drag Race every single week. We've had season 12 of RuPaul's Drag Race, All Stars 5, Canada's Drag Race, and now Drag Race Holland. I'm so fucking excited.
Keep them coming, honey. keep us employed, shit. Maybe we gotta keep feeding the machine.
Okay, we got a message in our inbox.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hi, girls. Holland calling. So Drag Race Holland is about to start. They only recently filmed it in August and September. All the queens were in quarantine for 2 weeks prior to filming, so none of the queens would get the Rona. The host, Fred, is a TV personality who's done a lot of drag in the club scene, just not so much on TV, so I'm looking forward to that. That's really cool.
That's
because
awesome.
We have a judge who has some experience with drag.
Yep.
So, like, maybe he's not the authority like RuPaul is, but at least he knows what the fuck he's talking
knowledgeable,
about, right?
Knowledgeable.
He's put on the pantyhose and he stood around in a club, tipsy, drinking a cocktail in high heel shoes. We don't know how high heel shoes were, but in the promo, she wearing some heels.
She wearing
so
heels.
So we know. Okay. One of the guest judges is our Nikki Tutorials. If only they'd make her a regular judge. Yeah, Nikki Tutorials. Nikki Tutorials is like a famous Instagram
makeup
blogger, makeup artist. Yeah. And she has like a huge following. And yeah, that's amazing that she's going to be on the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for that little...
Oh, and this is All the Love from Brendan Netherlands, Remco, XOXO.
Okay.
Cool.
P.S. Oh, look at us from Miami Beach. He's in a picture.
Oh. Oh, look. There's a picture of you and Remco. Oh he's cute.
Oh, my God. He's cute. I recognize him. Hey.
All right.
Oh, my God. All right.
Cool. So, I want to encourage all of our Dutch listeners to our podcast to write us emails at latricemanila@gmail.com because, you know, we looked stupid as Americans trying to like review Canada's Drag Race for the first 2 episodes. And we got a lot of help from our Canadian listeners to help explain what was going on in the show. And I'm looking forward to getting emails from our listeners in the Netherlands.
100%. And so as a final reminder, if you have been listening to our show on the Race Chaser feed, now is the time to make sure that you are subscribed to our show's specific channel. So just make sure you go find The Chop with Manila Latrice, hit that subscribe button.
Oh, yes. Because we are going to be talking every week about Drag Race Holland. Now, our podcast used to come out on Mondays, but because the show Drag Race Holland is coming out the day... Canada's Drag Race is on Thursdays. Drag Race Holland is going to be on Fridays. So we're going to move our podcast to Tuesdays. So starting next week, September 22nd, look out for our podcast where we will be recapping and reviewing Drag Race Holland right here.
Thanks so much for listening to The Chop.
And make sure you subscribe to our show and you can rate and review us at your favorite podcast app.
You can send us an email and we might even read it on the show next week. Email us at latricemanila@gmail.com.
And you can follow us at Latrice Royale and at Manila Luzon on Instagram.
And we'll see you next week to find out
who gets the chop!
Bye!
Bye!
The Chop is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Crave Canada, or any of their subsidiaries.
It is intended for entertainment and information purposes only.
Canada's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
The Chop is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media.
Mom.
Hosted by Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Executive produced by Willem Belli.
Alaska Thunderfuck.
Brett Boehm.
Joe Cilio.
And Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is The Chop by Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.